Today we celebrate the first Sunday of Advent. The term Advent originated from Latin word adventus, which means to come or to arrive. And among Christians, among us, Advent pertains to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Traditionally, we celebrate the birth of Christ on Christmas Day, which was the first Advent, or the first arrival of Christ as human on earth. And every first Sunday of the month, we celebrate the Lord's Supper to remind us of Christ's second advent, his second coming. And truly, we should eagerly look forward to the return of Christ. And we are reminded in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. Let's read this together. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Indeed, we share the gospel of Christ because of our hope for his return, for his second advent, his coming again. And we expect that he will take us into his heaven. Do you hold onto this hope of Christ coming? Do you hold onto this expectation to be taken into heaven? How do we practically prove that we really hope for Christ's return? Is it all in the mind, or is there anything that we do for us to show and prove to ourselves, not just for others, that we personally experience, that we personally hope that Christ should return. Look at that, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We tell our personal experience of Christ with our loved ones. That is how we practically show our hope, to remind ourselves of that hope. As believers, we accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. And the Lord has revealed himself to each of us very uniquely. How I personally came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, how the Lord revealed himself to me, is not the same as anyone else. You came to know Christ at a time and a situation very different from others. Just recall, how did Christ reveal himself to you? How did the Lord Jesus reveal himself to you as your Lord, as your Savior? If you talk about Christ, if you talk about what Christ has done in your life, how would that be? What is it? What is it that you would tell others? This is what I experienced in Jesus Christ. This is how I can say that I have this hope of Christ coming again. I have this expectation that he will take me into his heaven. When Israel was old and advanced in years, he blessed his son, Joseph, and told him that God is his shepherd. God is his shepherd. How is it like to have the Lord as shepherd? Let's read again verse 8 to 11. When Israel saw the sons of Joseph, he asked, "Who are these? Here are the sons of God given me here." Joseph said to his father. Then Israel said, "Bring them to me, so I may bless them." Now Israel's son's eyes were failing because of old age, and he could hardly see. So Joseph brought his son close to him, and his father kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said to Joseph, "I never expected to see your face again, and now God has allowed me to see your children too." We may interpret that Israel had regularly told how the Lord took care of his needs all the days of his life. Then that was the way they remembered the things that happened and before Moses wrote it in the Bible. Because at the time they didn't have computers to save their datas or anything. They tell it. They didn't have any television, internet at the time. So at night, they tell their children, their grandchildren, what happened in their lives, how the Lord revealed himself to them. Do you still do that to your children, to your grandchildren? Do you still find time of telling about how the Lord has done in your life? Or when you are driving, long driving, what do you do? Do you tell our stories about the Lord Jesus Christ, or each one would be just texting each other? You are so near, but yet you are so far from each other. Because of technology, they don't have that before, and they experience the Lord. God's provision for Israel during the famine was a great example that the Lord took care of his needs all the days of his life. And many years before they came to Egypt, his sons reported that Joseph was killed, maybe killed by animals, and his sons showed him that fancy, beautiful robe tainted with blood. Perhaps this is your, I think this is the robe of your son. I think he was killed by animals. And we recall in Genesis chapter 37, verse 35, let's read this together. All his sons and daughter came to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. No, he said, I will continue to mourn until I join my son in the grave. So his father wept for him. By the time Joseph was sold as a slave, Jacob never experienced gladness or happiness anymore. He mourned all the days of his life until the day he came to see Joseph again. He may have believed the report of his sons that Joseph has really died. Joseph was Israel's son with his wife Rachel. He had other sons too, but Joseph was his favorite son, and Israel expected a great thing to happen with his son Joseph. And then here's his son. They reported, your son Joseph may have been killed by animals. When Joseph was young, he had a dream. He dreamed something like they were sheaving, they were harvesting, and his sheaves were standing tall, and the sheaves of his brothers were bowing down to him. And at that time, there's another dream. He dreamed that the sun, the moon, 11 stars were bowing down to him. And he told his father about his dreams, told his brothers about his dream. It says in Genesis 37, 10 and 11, let's read this. When he told his father, as well as his brothers, father rebuked him and said, what is this dream you had? Will your mother and I, your brothers, actually come and bow down to you, to the ground before you? His brothers were jealous of him, but his father, look at that, his father kept the matter in mind. He was thinking of that. Oh, probably God revealed himself. He might have considered, Israel may have considered that Joseph's dream was a revelation from the Lord. And he expected it to happen, that his son Joseph would become great. And then suddenly, before it happened, his other son said, oh, look at this robe of your son, tainted with blood. Perhaps your son Joseph, your favorite son Joseph, has been killed by wild animals. And that he mourned, and he was very sad. But eventually, Joseph's dream turned into reality. Israel said he didn't expect to see Joseph again. That's why he mourned all his life of his death. But he did. He met Joseph. His mourning turned into joy, and all the more joyful when he saw Joseph's son. Sometimes It shakes our faith when we hear disturbing reports. We hear news like storm. A few days ago, there was a report of a storm coming to the prayers. Well, accept the possibility, but don't get confused so easily. Not all news reports would come as realities. Consider speculation and possibilities. Similarly, we hear storms of life, personal. We hear somebody got sick, somebody was laid off, or somebody met an accident or something. And there's this family struggling. Problems among children, brothers and sisters, relatives, problems of husband and wife. And we feel sad. Problem in the church. Not a few are bothered, not a few are confused. We may be shaken. Most of them, God shakes us to evaluate our faith. What do you do when your computer is getting slow? You know that there's no virus in there in your computer. For you computer tech or computer savvy people, you defragment, right? Do you know that? Do you still do that? Defragmentation? No, not anymore. But there was this time I still do. Not just clean up, defragment. Do you know that? Defragment is this, the computer would consolidate files that are together so that it will be arranged accordingly and more efficiently. The computer become efficient. And I suppose sometimes when God shakes the church, He defragments the church, delete the unnecessary files, and so that the good files would be used properly. I don't know. Sad to say that freedom of speech have been abused deceitfully. You read something like fake news. Have you heard about that? Fake news on the other side of the border or even in this country. And there are individual influential individuals that may twist their reports for personal gain or political gain. There was this reporter of the Newsweek, I don't know if you've read this, but a reporter, he has been had a good record in his resume, top-notch kind of reporter, journalist, but he just reported it on Thursday that what would be President Trump doing. He might have been tweeting and just playing golf. And then it turned out that President Trump was in Afghanistan with celebrating Thanksgiving with the soldiers. And what happened? They kicked off that reporter who just want to do something to maybe in support to the liberals or something. Have you read that news? Those are some kinds of news that other people and even Christians may think is true. They believe everything that they read without even trying to. Oh, I heard this is a very this person is very influential and I think he's telling the truth. If it is not biblical, don't treat it as biblical truth, right? So give that space where you say. We'll see if it's true or not. Christian communities can also be affected by serious spiritual concern from every angle. Each one would be experiencing some kind of persecution. What is it that you experienced lately? In your neighborhood, in your work, in school, or even in church. The Lord warned it in John 15, verse 18, 21. Let's read this together. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you? A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obey my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. Now that's one good thing, to know that you really are a disciple. When you are doing what is right, biblically right, you know that it's for, you are obeying the Lord, and still people would say negative things about you, then praise God, smile, because it only shows that you are following the Lord. If the Lord praise you, be glad and be very proud of you doing different thing, then you should be sad because you belong to the world. In this world, genuine believers can never escape persecution. Why? The Lord declared it. It certainly comes into reality. The Lord Jesus said it. Why? Christ is the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth. He is the truth. Whatever comes from his mouth, whatever he says is true. If they persecuted him, we will be persecuted. That is true. Whatever he says is true. Whatever he predicted will certainly come true. And every Christmas we celebrate the greatest proof that whatever God says, it will surely happen. An angel of the Lord told Mary that she will get pregnant, give birth to a son. And Mary was puzzled how it can happen since she was a virgin. Trivia question, what was the name of the angel that predicted the birth of Christ and told Mary? Gabriel. Gabriel, the angel, answered Mary with confidence and told her in Luke chapter 1, verse 37. Let's read again. Luke chapter 1, verse 37. For no word from God will ever fail. I hope that would stick in our mind. Luke chapter 1, verse 37. That no word from God will ever fail. It will certainly happen. Christ was born and exemplified how to live godly life when persecuted. We celebrate Christmas joyfully even when the world is not very friendly to Christians. Godly rejoicing does not come from outside. Even if you go to seafood, you can buy everything you want there, eat everything you want there. Oh, seafood, what is that? In Garden City, Seafood City. I thought it's Garden City. Now there's two cities in the Winnipeg City. Seafood City in Garden City, two cities inside the city. How about that? Trivia question, well, what is the two city inside the city? Seafood City, Garden City. Now, godly rejoicing does not come from outside. You can eat whatever you want to eat. You can watch whatever you want to watch. You can do whatever you want to do, but still there is no rejoicing. Because rejoicing is from the Holy Spirit inside us. So we sense it inside, we sense that joy from the Lord, it doesn't matter what's happening in the surrounding. maybe there may be some kind of reveling or the winning of the Grey Cup by the Blue Bombers, or losing of the Toronto Raptors, or winning, or whatever, Winnipeg Jets. But still you rejoice inside, because that rejoicing comes from the Lord. We study the Word of God to learn from the experience of godly people. Most often, like Israel, we also lost great possibilities to happen in our life. Israel was so sad, he mourned when Joseph was reported to have been killed by wild animals. His hope of great thing happening to the life of his favorite son was lost. So he lost hope, like many of us, because we can be easily persuaded when other people say this and that, and we believe this and that. There are times when our faith are shaken. We even grow cold. We even grow cold so that we say, oh, I don't want to come to church anymore. Why? Why do I want to come to church? I am not blessed. Now, let me tell you. Those people who are saying that they are not blessed, ask them, what time do you come to church? I come when pastor is finished preaching. Oh, do you attend men's fellowship? Oh, no. I just heard about it. Do you come to women's fellowship? No. Do you come to prayer meeting? I was thinking about it. And they really are not blessed because of how they approach their life. How could they be blessed, right? Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. Let's read this together. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people. For not everyone has faith, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love in Christ's perseverance. Israel had never expected to see Joseph again after it was reported that he may have been killed. Now, don't just believe anything you hear. If it is not biblical, if it did not come from the Bible, be prayerful and ask the Lord to bring you to your attention what he has prepared for you. Surely God has prepared something for you. Let's read again verse 12 to 14. Then Joseph removed from Israel's knees and bowed down with his face to the ground. And Joseph took both of them, Ephraim on his right toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh on his left toward Israel's right hand, and brought them close to him. But Israel reached out his hand and put it on Ephraim's head. Then though he was the younger, and crossing his arm, he put his left hand on Manasseh's head, even though Manasseh was the firstborn. Joseph brought his son closer to their grandfather Israel. After Joseph bowed down to the ground, pause for a moment, imagine about the situation. Imagine what happened. Israel was sick and Joseph was informed. Joseph came to see his father. Upon Joseph's arrival, before Joseph arrived, Israel sit on his bed, and he saw Joseph and his sons coming, and Joseph told him about the Lord's promise that he would be fruitful and multiply numerously, and his descendants will inherit the promise that God's promise, the promised land, that his descendants would inherit the promised land. But when he saw Joseph's son, the son of Joseph, Israel revealed that after he was reported, he told Joseph, it was reported that you were killed, I mourn, I did not expect to see you anymore, but now God allowed me to see. That was what Israel said. God allowed me to see even your sons, not just you. He credited that it was God who enabled him to see Joseph again and his sons, grandchildren from Joseph. And Israel kissed and embraced the sons of Joseph. Then, after that, Joseph moved away the sons from their father, and then he bowed down. Now, he bowed down to show proper respect. Why? Why did not Joseph bow down first? When he arrived, he bowed down immediately. No. He waited for Israel to speak, for Jacob to speak. Israel was not very concerned about bowing down. He rejoiced to see Joseph brought his sons to him. And that rejoicing must have come from God, because Israel just cannot wait to express that joyfulness. God enabled me to see you, not only you, but your sons too. He just cannot contain that rejoicing in his heart. The Lord's faithfulness to him. Psalm 71 verse 18 says, let's read this. Even when I am gray and old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. Every one of us will grow old if we don't die early. That was exactly what Israel did when he proclaimed the Lord's care for him from the time he left Canaan to find his wife. That the Lord was his shepherd, that even in his old age, he remembered that the Lord took care of him. When Israel left Canaan and went and looked for his wife, and then when he relocated to Egypt during the famine, when he saw the sons of Joseph, he expressed that he was in his old age. He was about to die, actually. Israel must have been full of rejoicing in his heart. What is it that you would tell your children? What is it that you would tell your grandchildren when you talk about the faithfulness of God to you? What practical goodness happened to you personally? What experience in life that you would credit the Lord about it? What is it that you would post in your Twitter accounts and your media, social media account, your Facebook? Many people would love to show where did it go. Well, that's great. But it should serve not to be to inspire others. What they bought during Black Friday, what they eat during Black Friday, what they eat in Seafood City. The governor of Texas, do you know who is the governor of Texas now? He is Greg Abbott. Greg Abbott was paralyzed from waist down in a freak accident. Accordingly, he was jogging one day, and then an oak tree just fell down on him. Imagine that. He was jogging, and the oak tree fell down on him. He was paralyzed from waist down, and he has used wheelchair ever since. And lately, because he is a Republican, he has been attacked and mocked before by his political opponents being in a wheelchair. And he posted a video online, a young man in a wheelchair climbing an indoor wall with the caption, "Never quit, never give up, overcome any challenge." Can you click that, Louis? That. Bakit na lang hindi nalis yung wheelchair, ano? Dinadala pa niya. Parang pagunga na, daladala ang bahay. Now, somebody commented on that post. Ted video on the Twitter. It said, "So great to see that video. If I ever end up in a wheelchair, I'm just ending it." Yeah, that was the comment. But Abbott responded by reflecting on his own experience. He said, "That is what I thought before I ended up in a wheelchair. I've done more," he said, "I've done more after the accident that left me paralyzed than before that accident. With God," he said, "all things are possible. God didn't cause the accident that left me paralyzed," he said, "but he did help me to persevere over that innermost challenge. I'm a testament that the glory of God is revealed by a young man's back being broken in half and still rising up to be the governor of Texas," he said. With God, all is possible. Our question, personal question, what is your weakness? What do you think is an attribute to you, something about you that the world may mock or laugh at? It could be that God would use that to glorify His name. Nobody can deny the testimony of Governor Abbott. He must have fullness of rejoicing in his heart, and truly every genuine believer will face reality challenges in life. Nobody is exempted. Everyone will have a challenge. God would even take our favorite thing. What is your favorite thing? For Governor Abbott, his favorite thing is to jog. Every day jogging. But God took away his feet, the strength of his feet. Even dream. Israel dreamed that the dream of his son Joseph may become great. It was taken from him, but eventually it became a reality. Or person, his favorite person, his favorite son was Joseph. God has taken that favorite son away from him to become great. Maybe the thing that you desired the most, the person or dream that you have for yourself, give it to God. Let Him take it. He may use it to glorify your name through you. When Israel heard the report that his favorite son may have been killed, he mourned all his life until he personally saw Joseph again. Aren't we like Israel? Aren't we like Jacob? We also mourn when our favorite person is taken away, nabasted, halimbawa, na break off. Or our favorite children, our favorite son, our favorite daughter, we have dreamed for them, but our dream was shattered. Or item, your favorite car was crashed, or favorite computer, andun pa yung sa cellphone mo yung mga memories mo, and then ayaw nang magbukas yung cellphone mo. Hindi mo na malaro mga lagi mong nilalaro o kaya makita yung mga picture na memories mo. Or computer, parang ganun. Why would God allow those things to happen? Well, surely, Joseph may have felt very sad when he was sold as a slave. He may have accepted that, oh, I think I would never see my father again. But he kept on trusting God, though, and the Lord blessed him, and his dream had turned into reality. Let's read again verse 15 and 16. Then he blessed Joseph and said, may God before whom my father Abraham, Isaac, walk faithfully, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who has delivered me from all harm. May he bless these boys. May they be called by my name in the names of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac. May they increase greatly on earth. Now Joseph and his sons heard directly from Israel's words, from his mouth, that the Lord has been his shepherd all his life. And he interceded for Joseph's son, that the same Lord who blessed him, the same Lord his shepherd, will grant the sons of Joseph similar blessing and deliverance from all harm. Blessed, just as we are blessed. Bless others just as you are blessed. What is it normally when that come to mind when we hear the word blessing? Our blessing is the most extreme happiness, ultimate happiness. Anything that may enable you to experience that, that's blessing. For Israel, God's blessing included his personal experience of the Lord's deliverance from harm that he encountered in his life. When Israel took his family and all his properties and returned to Canaan when they were in Padan Aram, he did not say goodbye to his father, to Makasha. He did not tell his father, Laban, that he wanted to return to Canaan. And Laban was offended by that. Bakit kay tumakas? And he followed and overtook Jacob, but the Lord warned Laban and said, don't say anything good or bad that may provoke Jacob. And when Jacob arrived in Canaan, he remembered he may have been scared that his brother Esau will kill him. Actually, before Jacob went to Padan Aram, he took the blessing intended to Esau, and Esau held grudge against Jacob, and he planned to kill him. That's why he left Canaan at first. And then, when he returned, he prayed for the Lord to save him from the hands of his brother Esau. And the Lord told him in Genesis chapter 32, verse 28, let's read this together. Your name will no longer Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with human and have overcome. That is why he was named Israel. And the last problem that Israel encountered was the severe famine. And God used it for him and his family to relocate to Egypt. His son Joseph provided for their needs. That is how shepherds do, provide for the needs of his sheep. And Israel experienced that. That is why he declared, the Lord is my shepherd. Shepherd provides for the needs of his sheep. He kept them away from harm. If the sheep trust him, they shouldn't worry. How about us? If we are the sheep of our Lord, our shepherd, should we be worrying about anything? No. Just look at yourself. Am I really a sheep of my shepherd? King David had certainly learned his lesson from the story of Israel. In Israel declared that the Lord has been his shepherd all his life. Similarly, King David also declared that he was like a sheep to the Lord, his shepherd. And we can remember that David eloquently described in Psalm 23, verse 1 to 6, and said, let's read this together. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Makes me lie down in green pastures. leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you sense that the goodness and love follows you all the days of your life? If so, the Lord is your shepherd. Can you say that you are satisfied and lack nothing? As Christian, you say yes, the Lord is your shepherd. Do you have peace as if sitting next to quiet water? Have you been to rushing river before and just sit at that rushing river? It's not quiet river, but it's so good watching that rushing river. Or just throwing your line and the lake and just waiting, just watching the quiet lake, water of the lake. Have you done that before? Do you have that experience with the Lord? If so, the Lord is your refresher. Do you decide and do things for the sake of Christ? I'm doing this for Christ's sake. You say yes, the Lord is your guide. Are you afraid of possible recession or any problem? Good health? The Lord is your comfort. Do you feel secure even if people oppose you? When things are not turning according to your will, but you are so secured, the Lord is your security guard. Do you have assurance to be with God forever? The Lord is your shepherd. Christ our Lord says, shall we stand up and read and declare and read this? Let's read John 10, 14 to 16. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. As we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we are reminded of Christ's death and resurrection. Christ, our shepherd, was crucified for the penalty of our sins, and we expect his return to take us and live with him in his heaven for all eternity. Let's bow down our heads as our church leaders may prepare the table. Let's think of who Jesus is in our life. Is he really our shepherd? Do we have that assurance that when he returns, we will be with him forever? Take this time and thank the Lord for his death, that he has taken away our sins, nailed them in the cross. Take this time to thank him for the assurance that you will be with him in his heaven for all eternity.